Should we just read our main passage again? It's right at the beginning of the handout. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me introduce you to Kerry. Kerry works part-time, has children still at home, is involved in lots of things at church, and often wakes up weary. Actually, her real name is Sherry. Sometimes I wake up in the morning thinking about all the different things I have to do that day, all my different plans, the different admin tasks that always seem to be piling up, my work, the complexities of the issues and the people that surround me. And if that wasn't enough, I then remember how God wants me to live a life of love and joy, self-sacrifice. And I think to myself, I can't do this. I can't do this. I imagine many of us can identify. We've made it through our night of worries using Operation Philippians 4:6-7. But now it's time to get up. And we're feeling tired and weary with the stuff of life. It's the big stuff. It's the pressure at work. It's the feeling like you're not the mum you want to be, or the dullness of having to do the same things day in, day out. It's the little stuff. Oh, I mustn't forget to go to the post office, and oh, we're nearly out of bread, and I haven't done this, that, or the other. And we bury our heads under the covers and think, I really don't know if I can face life today. I'm not sure I can be bothered. I just don't feel like I've got it in me. And it all feels a bit like survival, doesn't it? And there's no chance we can face today and do the whole love and joy and peace thing that we're supposed to do as Christians. It just feels like too much. It's one massive step too far when there's so much on my mind and so much on my to-do list. The truth of the matter is that life wears us down. We feel weary, we feel burdened, we feel weighed down. And it's hard. So that's the truth of the matter. What's the even bigger truth of the matter? Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That's the even bigger truth than life wears us down. Four words. The Lord is near. The Lord Jesus is near us now. He's always with us by his Spirit. And he's coming back from heaven soon. One of my favourite series of books is the Jasper Ford's Thursday Next series. I don't know, has anyone come across it? When I mentioned it at Shepherd Drive, no one had either. It's very niche, it's quirky, it's a bit surreal. I love them. While others in the first lockdown learned to make bread, I read the whole 7 books back to back, had a great time. In one of the books, the villain, Aeornis, Hades, just trying to say that right, has been captured. She's the villain, she's been captured. But she has abilities that means no ordinary jail could possibly contain her. And so instead, she's imprisoned in an 8-minute time loop. It is quirky, it is niche. She's imprisoned in this 8-minute time loop. And where is she? She is in the queue to pay at TK Maxx. 8 minutes of edging closer and closer to the till, and just when she lays her two dresses and her pair of shoes on the counter, she's back to the beginning of the 8 minute wait. It's a truly terrible punishment. I couldn't think of much worse, to be honest. I'm not a shopper. You know, perhaps being on hold to the doctors, I don't know, but it's a truly terrible punishment. Actually, the whole world can feel like it's imprisoned a little bit in a time loop, can't it? Nothing's ever going to change. Not really, we're all here, just going, let's start going round and round and round forever. But wonderfully, that couldn't be further from the truth. After Jesus smashed death by rising again, he ascended into heaven with the promise that he would come back. This world has a deadline. Jesus will call time. Can you imagine what it would be like if it happens before you die? The heavens will split open, the trumpets will sound, we'll see Jesus coming down. Evil will be defeated once and for all. The world will be renewed. God will live right with his people from the moment he returns. If we're his, we will never feel weary again. Weariness will become like a sort of distant memory. I don't know if you have a distant memory of a holiday you went on when you were 7 or 8 or 9. Oh yeah, weariness. We used to feel that, didn't we? Yeah, I kind of remember it. The Lord is near. And when he returns, we will never again lie in bed in the morning and wish we could just stay there because we can't face the day. Weariness, like crying and sorrow and pain, will be swallowed up in Jesus' victorious return. But right now, we are sort of in a queue at TK Maxx, aren't we? Life can feel, it will feel, sometimes so endless, so hard, so dull sometimes. It will weariness, and it will feel a lot like this because we are still living in a world broken by sin, and we're still waiting for Jesus' return. Christians will feel weary because Jesus hasn't come back yet. So what's going to get us out of bed? 5 words this time from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul is currently in prison as he writes this letter to the Philippians, but it's certainly not the first time he's found himself in jail. In fact, when he first came to Philippi, the city he's posting his letter to, he and his friend Silas ended up in jail then. They had been visiting the city and telling people the good news about Jesus, and it had kind of been going quite well. But then this girl began following them around. She was a slave. She was possessed by an evil spirit, we're told. And she follows them round, shouting out at them. And finally, Paul turns round and commands the spirit to come out of her. Great, you'd think. But the girl's owners are furious. The girl was making them rich by telling fortunes, but now the evil was gone, so was their income. They had Paul and Silas seized and brought before the authorities, and they claimed they were troublemakers. And it wasn't long before the crowds joined in the attack, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods and then put in jail. They were taken to the inner cell of Philippi's jail, and their feet were put in stocks. And what did they do? We read about it in Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I bet the other prisoners were listening to them. I mean, who sings hymns? He rejoices with bruises developing and feet in stocks. Okay, quick break from me talking. Just turn to one or two others around you. What's your reaction to Paul and Silas? And what on earth have they got to be rejoicing about? Just really quickly, just one or two ideas. So reaction, and then what possibly might they have been rejoicing about? I'll just give you a couple of minutes. What were they rejoicing about? Well, they might have been remembering that the Lord is near, that it's not TK Maxx or a Philippian jail forever. They might be remembering that God is working his purposes out. As Paul writes in Philippians, in jail again, that his being in prison hasn't stopped the message of salvation going out. In fact, it's helped it. If you're not familiar with Philippians 1, do you have a read of that later to see how that's happening? They might be remembering that nothing, not freedom or comfort or, well, anything, is worth more than knowing Jesus. And that they share with Jesus in his sufferings, and they will also share with Jesus in his resurrected life. That's what Paul talks about a lot in Philippians 3. There's a lot of things that they might have been rejoicing about. I sometimes have to remind my children and myself that it's very possible to feel two things at once. Tom, it's true that you're disappointed because you're missing your very first league football game because I double booked. I didn't make that up. I wish I did. It's very true you're disappointed to be missing your first football game. But it's also true that the Wildwood is an amazing place to go. And we're so I'm blessed to have friends who gave us a voucher. Both things true at once, the disappointment and the joy. It's the same here too with Silas and Paul. To rejoice doesn't mean that the bruises don't hurt. The bruises do hurt. And the Lord is near. The bruises hurt, and knowing Jesus is better than anything else. Let's be people who are honest about our weariness and who are rejoicing. If you're not sure what you could possibly find to rejoice about, why not read a few verses from Philippians 1 or 2 or 3? You'll find so much there. Perhaps you could even pick a few verses to write out, maybe leave by your bed, so that when you are struggling to face the day, when you've got to get up but you really don't want to, you could just have them there to glance at and see that there are things to rejoice about. And so the truth of the matter is that life wears us down. The even bigger truth of the matter, 4 words, the Lord is near. So 5 words, rejoice in the Lord always. The fact that the Lord is near should change something else too. It should change what we're focusing on. I'm planning to get really practical now, because there are often things, if we're honest, if I'm honest, that we're focusing on that can really add to our feelings of weariness. But first, a little quiz. Okay, we're not gonna do scores. I'll just get people to shout out a few ideas and we'll see who gets closest. What percentage do you think of adults in the UK own a smartphone? Any guesses? Percentage of adults? This is all ages. Sorry? 89, 80? Sorry? 90? 60? 87% of adults own a smartphone. If you are looking at what they call Generation Z, so like 16 to 24-year-olds, that is almost 100%. But across all ages, 87%. On average, how many times a day do we pick up our phones just to check them? What do you reckon? Sorry? Every couple of minutes? I mean, I guess if you're on them a lot, you're probably not picking them up. You've got them in your hand already. Go on, give me a number or two. 25. 30. Any advance on 30? Oh, that's so close. So close. 58 times on average. We just pick them up just to check them. And again, on average, how many minutes a day do people, and this is a UK stat, do people spend on their phones? How many minutes a day? A lot. 120. That's close. 148. 148 minutes on average on our phones. I think it's good to talk about phones. Phones don't refresh us. Scrolling doesn't help us relax. Facebook, in the main, does not help us to think about what is good and right and true. And we know that, don't we? We know it. We know our phones are addictive. That social media feeds our insecurities and our worries. And although I so often turn to them for entertainment or escape, they don't do much to lift our weariness, not really. Instead, too much time on our phones will result in an increase in our weariness and our worries. And I speak for myself, completely for myself, that I say that actually in worried moments or bored moments, or I really should tidy up the kitchen moments, my reflex can be to reach for my phone. It's a massive problem for so many. So what's the solution? Well, it would be really easy for me to stand here and say, reduce the amount of time you spend on your phone. But that really would have all the impact of a New Year's resolution, wouldn't it? We need to replace at least some of our scrolling time with something else instead. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What we're focusing on matters if we want to be people who are rejoicing. Two soaps, 10 minutes on Instagram, and then half an hour on Facebook will not fill our minds with what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. I mean, maybe you're not on Facebook, but maybe it's watching the news constantly that's the thing for you, and hearing and seeing over and over again all the terrible things that are happening in the world, and that's dragging you down. Or perhaps it's magazines that make you feel weary of the life that you're living and wishing for a different type of house or a different type of body or a different type of situation. We're going to have to get armed for the battle to fill our minds with good things instead. And there are many strategies we could employ to take our focus off our phones. For example, just leave it on silent for a few hours a day so we're not constantly at its beck and call. But just for a minute, I want to think about a few practical ideas of how not just to cut down our time on our phones, but how to fill that time with better things. Some of these things, suggestions, I've tried to do more on a Sunday, so I have at least one day that's a little less phone heavy and a little bit more Philippians 4 heavy. So for quite a while, I've had the tactic of not taking my phone to bed most nights, but especially on a Saturday night, leaving it downstairs in the kitchen. Again, these are only suggestions, but perhaps that might be something you would want to try. So instead of checking the news last thing, you could instead read one or two verses for a few minutes before you go to sleep to focus your mind on things that are good and noble and true. Then, when I wake up, if I've not got my phone when I go to sleep, obviously it's not there when I wake up, so I'm not immediately reaching for it. Again, it might be that you can then just spend one or two minutes thinking about some of the verses that you've written out from Philippians and think about what to rejoice in. Now, full disclosure, in all honesty, I've got an audiobook on the go at the moment, so I am taking my phone up to bed because I'm listening to a story. But aeroplane mode is your friend. You can just click that and then it cuts off the internet, so you're not receiving messages, you're not checking the news. And there are so many different good features on a phone, so if you're worried about someone not being able to contact you, you can always have it so just certain numbers can ring and those sorts of things. But it's just worth thinking about those. Yeah, do I want my phone by my bed? Is it what I'm reaching for first thing? Is it what I'm filling my mind with before I go to sleep? And then just thinking about phones and church services. Even the most introverted of us need other Christians. Just like different parts of our physical bodies need each other, gathering together with other Christians is an absolute must. Our weekly services are vital in getting our focus right. But why not go a step further and leave your phone in the glove compartment in your car, or in your bag? Again, these are not rules, these are just suggestions, but a paper copy of the Bible can't get a WhatsApp message come through halfway through the service. So I find that really helpful just to have a paper copy of the Bible. And then after the service, why not check in with those around you rather than your messages? Why not have a Christian book that you're reading and maybe just doing a few pages on a Sunday afternoon or whenever, a decision to leave your phone in the other room for a couple of hours to focus on something else instead. Why not make a decision now to learn some of Scripture? Maybe the verses that we're focusing on today, you could write them out, try and learn them by heart, put them up somewhere you'll see, and then perhaps every Sunday, just have a little test of yourself on them and see if you're remembering them. And perhaps if you've got this passage down, you could move on in Philippians 4. If you do turn on the TV, why not ask yourself what is lovely and admirable in what you're seeing? And when you do see a character doing something good or something that is noble, to praise God for that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul ends this little section by telling the Philippians that they really should follow his example. He really did live what he preached. We see that all through Philippians as he focuses his mind on Jesus, despite the awful, wearying circumstances that he's living in prison, potentially to be executed. It's a great thing to read through Philippians and just see Paul's example shining through from the pages. But we can also look to the example of Christians around us too. We really need each other to keep bringing us back, keep focusing our minds on the right things. We need each other. We need each other to be digging into the Bible together. We need each other to keep us going on this often wearying journey. So, when we're lying in bed, first thing in the morning, daunted by the day, weary, saying, I can't do this, what do you think God says back? You must. Pull yourself together, girl. No. He says, I know. I know you can't do it in your own strength. I know. Our Heavenly Father is no Sergeant Major barking orders at us. Look at the last few words of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. Jesus will return one day, but today God is very much with you by his Spirit. He will give us what we need for the day. He understands our weariness and he promises to strengthen us. And so we can say with Paul, earlier on in Philippians, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Paul is pressing on. He's getting out of bed every morning. He's pressing on until the time Jesus takes him home, never to be weary again. Got another couple of book recommendations, and then for a few minutes before everyone stampedes to the bookstall, there's some questions to think about together, and then I think we're going to hear about some other bits and pieces, but just a couple of book recommendations. Firstly, Gentle and Lowly. a book that focuses on Jesus' words, the come to me words, come to me all who are, is it weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. A book that just spends lots of time thinking, what is God's heart? What is Jesus' heart for us? He's not the sergeant major. He's the one who says, I know, I know. I'll be honest, I haven't read it all. I'm reading it currently and finding it so, so helpful. And then Refresh, a brilliant book, really helpful, thinking about how we're often feeling weary in life. And sometimes there are changes that we need to make to what we're doing and how, you know, our lives are looking. And this is just a brilliant, really real, helpful book, thinking about how we can keep going in the Christian life. The subtitle is Embracing a Grace-Paced Life in a World of Endless Demands. Really helpful. But for a few minutes now, we've got a little bit of time. There's some questions that would be great just to think about again. It might be as a whole table. It might be in twos or threes. It might be that you want to take yourself out to the foyer and just sit on your own for a minute. That's fine. What factors in life can add to our weariness? What impact does social media or the news or whatever have on you personally? What steps can we take to reduce our scrolling time? And how can we fill our minds with good things instead? And what should we remind ourselves of when we're feeling weary? So just for a few minutes, if you want to turn to someone near you. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are indeed our Heavenly Father, that you're not the Sergeant Major in the sky. You are the one who cares, who knows. You know our worries, you know our weariness, you know the things that weigh us down. Lord, thank you that the Lord is near. Thank you that Jesus is with us now, walking with us through our days. And thank you that he's coming back again soon. Thank you that this world isn't just going round and round forever. Thank you that Jesus will call time. Thank you that he will come, and one day we will know the joy of no worries and no weariness, and all of the things that concern us now will be distant memories. Help us though in the meantime, we pray. Help us to fill our minds with good things. Would we be those who are rejoicing even when it's hurting? And would we be those who are thankful? Lord, these things don't come naturally, so we pray you would be changing us by your Spirit, that he would be at work in our hearts even today, that we might go out from here more equipped to live and serve you, that we would be more equipped for those lives of love and joy and self-sacrifice that we were thinking about right at the beginning of this session. Amen.